The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all throughout the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the household came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole mash was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables, to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who caused others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord. We continue with a lot of Jesus's farming or agriculture parables. Last week we had the parable of the sower. He sowed seed all over the place, even though only some of it bore good fruit. Then we have this one who sows good seeds of wheat, but the weeds seem to grow up with it. It seems like in both of those parables, you could kind of argue that the sower or the master, in the case of today's parable, are actually not very good at their job. Talked about last Sunday that it doesn't take a whole lot or a professional sower to figure out, don't throw seeds on the rocky soil and on the path. And yet part of Jesus' point is that he's okay being wasteful, that our God is so generous that he throws seed and throws his graces even where it's pretty obvious that it won't bear fruit, that he has enough to throw everywhere, just as we're meant to be prodigal and wasteful, especially with our prayer. But then today in this parable, it seems like the master of the house is not that worried about these weeds that are growing up alongside the wheat. Right? The workers come to him with a pretty sensible, pretty straightforward response to the weeds that are growing up, right? says, oh, an enemy came and sowed those. Okay, well, we'll go and get rid of him. I feel like they kind of want to follow that up to the master and be like, that's kind of why we're here. And that's kind of what we're supposed to go do is take care of the field. So if there's some weeds out there, we'll take care of it and the wheat can grow. But I don't think it's the master being bad at his job, it's just being a bad farmer. But I think he's focused on something different than what the workers are focused on. I think you could say that the master in this parable is just indifferent to the weeds. He's only focused on the wheat. If you notice, he says why he doesn't want to uproot the weeds at that moment. He says it could damage the wheat that's growing. Probably not a lot of it, right? But he's saying even just a little bit of the good fruit that's going to be ruined, that's a problem. So I'd rather let the weeds grow up, and they're not good. We'll take care of them at the end, at the harvest. But my one specific focus is that this field bears good fruit, that the wheat is giving everything it needs to grow and be the most bountiful that it can be. And then Jesus explains that's how God our Father sees the kingdom, sees the world and our life as Christians, that we're meant to go out and sow good seed like the sower, that we're meant to grow up, but there's going to be some evil around us. But I think like the master in the story, he wants us and his apostles to be a little bit indifferent, to be somewhat indifferent to that evil that is around us, to know that there is an invisible evil, that there is a spiritual realm like the demons and the devil that are doing some of these bad things, that they're just ways that we invite evil because of our personal sins or the sinful world around us. But as Christians, we have to accept that and know that that's always going to be there. I don't think Jesus just wants us to say, oh, well, it's just fine that there's bad stuff happening. But I think he wants us to be indifferent to it. That like the master of the house, we focus on one thing and one thing alone, of bearing good fruit, of noticing where the wheat is growing and kind of just being okay with the weeds being there. Not because it's good, but because at the end, God will take care of it. You don't actually have to fix it right now. St. Maximus the Confessor, who was a priest in the 7th century, said that each human person is like a miniature of creation. It's like a microcosm of all that God has made. I don't think he was just being egotistical of thinking that the whole world revolves around me. But he's really saying what we say in the creed, that we believe in things that are visible and invisible. That God created everything that we see and touch and hear and smell, all the created and sensible world around us. But he also created an invisible world, a spiritual realm, where there are angels and demons and the devil kind of sowing bad seeds and trying to cause evil to happen. That we know there's a source of it, like the master of the house in the parable. But we can't really stop it, right? It's kind of already happened. And also, even though we know there's a cause, we can't quite get rid of it. It's just kind of going to be there. Again, not that it's a good thing, but we kind of know that there's a source, but we may not be able to uproot it like we would want to, like the workers want to in the parable of the wheat and the tares. But what we can do is kind of be indifferent to that evil, to all the sin and the nastiness that's around us. And say, Lord, I actually want to focus on the good fruit. Jesus, when he explains it to the disciples, focuses on how kind of this is true of the world around us. But if each of us is like a little creation in miniature, if we have both a physical and visible realm in our bodies, but also an invisible realm with our spirits, with our immortal souls that will continue even after earthly death, well then, how are we meant to look at ourselves? How are we meant in our own bodies and souls, in our visible and invisible realities? How are we meant to bear good fruit, to grow that wheat that the Lord has sown? Knowing that there is sometimes intertwined some bad stuff, some weeds that seem to be getting in the way. But we can, if we let ourselves, focus just on the weeds. We can be like the workers that just want to go and just uproot it right away. And again, I don't think God is saying, well, it's okay, just don't worry about it. But he's saying, focus on the wheat. Focus on what's best for actually growing in imitation of Christ. So many of the saints have written about overcoming sin and being purged or purified of those sinful desires. And almost all of them don't focus on the vice or the evil. They don't say, well, if you're going to overcome anger, just focus on not being angry. Most of them say, well, look at the opposite of anger and try to work on that virtue. Instead of just saying, well, I'm not going to get angry, the opposite is not actually I'm going to just be happy and be okay with everything. They're usually saying, what is causing me to get to that place of anger? Is it just a lack of self-control? I don't have enough control that when I react or feel something, I have to kind of lash out with it. Well, then the opposite of that is actually, okay, Lord, I need to grow in self-control. I need to fast and grow in asceticism so that when those things rise up, I know that they're there, but I can actually say, okay, just because I'm frustrated by this thing, doesn't mean I have to yell at the guy next to me. Sometimes the core of our anger is actually a lack of forgiveness. It's actually holding on to past hurts from other people in our lives or things that says about us. So again, sometimes to overcome that anger, the spiritual writers will say, actually, I need to ask for the good fruit of forgiveness. To kind of ignore the weeds, to ignore the tares that the evil one has sown in my heart. And I kind of know it's from him, but if I get so focused on it, I almost get lost. I can't actually get rid of it. But if instead I say, okay, that bad weed of anger is there. So Lord, help me to focus on how to come to forgiveness. Because the beauty of seeing the world and even ourselves in that way is that we can accept the evil that's there, but we actually want to bring it to the Lord. We actually want to take everything in our visible and invisible lives, everything that we experience in our bodies and souls, and say, Lord, by myself, I can't actually get rid of this. But if I bring it to you, you will make me pure. You'll help burn away those weeds. You'll help me bear great fruit. This last week, I was on retreat up in Nebraska. It was one thing that the director of the retreat really focused on. It's kind of being indifferent to sin. Again, not because we want to get cozy with it and to be okay with it, but because the more we almost kind of inspect and dig deep in our sins, kind of fall into the devil's trap. Kind of get focused on the things of the evil one instead of the things of the Lord. And usually that means we try to keep it from God. Usually that means we say, well, I know this is a bad thing. This is an ugly thing. So I guess it's a thing that I have to deal with and not something I should bring to Jesus. But when we see that there is good fruit in our lives, when we see that those virtues are at least starting to take root, maybe not perfectly, but they're there somewhere, can actually say, Lord, help me to pursue that virtue. Help me to continue to cultivate the place that you're giving me good seed and good water and sunshine to grow those things that you want me to have. In some ways, I too can be indifferent to the weeds, knowing that they're going to be there, but most importantly, knowing that that fire of divine love will actually purify me of it, will actually burn it away. That it can do that either here in this earthly life, or if we end up in purgatory, he can purify it there. It's really what the harvest is that Jesus is talking about, that at the end of time, those of us that are united to the Lord might need to be purified, might need to get ready to meet God Almighty. He doesn't offer purgatory as a threat of, oh, I need to punish you for your sins. That's a way to kind of separate out the things that are good wheat, but also notice the things that are weeds that have grown up in our hearts and in our souls. And that if we're willing to give them to the Lord, if we're willing to entrust those to Jesus Christ, then he'll purify us. He'll burn them with the fire of divine love. But if we insist on holding on to those weeds, if we insist on holding on to those things that the devil has sowed connivingly but effectively in our hearts, then I believe the Lord will let us keep them. His divine love will burn for us. It will burn up those weeds, but as long as we're holding on to them, we will stay separated from the Lord. If you want to use the imagery, you could say that that's what hell is. That it's just us holding on to things and saying, Lord, I can't give this up. He's trying to burn it and get rid of it, but we won't give it to him. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that like the master in today's parable, we can in some ways be indifferent to the evil around us. Not to be okay with it, but to overlook it in favor of seeking out the wheat of the Lord. Seeing the ways that he started to sow good seeds in our life. Seeing the ways the virtues have been planted and started to bear fruit in our daily life. Knowing that it's not all the way there yet. The only way for us to get to the place of holiness that he calls us to is to bring both of those things to the Lord God Almighty. Say, Lord, I see the good that you are doing. I also see that I'm not perfect yet, and there's some stuff that has grown up alongside the virtues of my life. I bring those to you to purify, to make me more like Christ, your son. Because then in this life and in the life to come, we can be purified over and over again by that fire of divine love. We can be indifferent to the evil either within ourselves or in the world around us. Because like the master of the harvest, we are more focused on the good wheat, on seeing the good that the Lord is doing and wanting to expand that kingdom, expand the kingdom of his goodness and love as far and as deep as we can in our lives and in the world around us.